Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to ProU Podcast, episode number 180. How one deals with a test. And happy Thanksgiving. So here's a little story. 2.5 years ago on Thanksgiving, which sounds weird, but you follow me. It was the exact moment, I can pretty much pinpoint, that my healing began after about a year and a half of funk, real deep funk. Didn't have any plans, wasn't going anywhere. And I woke up and had one client, trained that client. That evening, I talked to a friend, kind of helped her deal with some drama she was going through. And at the end of the day, I was like, you know, that was a good day. Hence, I'm very thankful for that day. And then I thought, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I'm not eating that special dinner around that special table with those special people. And what I've been saying ever since. But where's the bad? And then I thought, you know, this is that day where people set aside to go, okay, I'm going to really be thankful on this day, which is super fantastic. But I did that every day, and that's how I healed. So I, again, just personally, okay, this is my walk. I'm just sharing it. I process the value of not belonging to that Thanksgiving Day group and being totally fine with it. Like, I'm okay. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, if you don't have that family, that big family that gathers around and does that thing, I'm not saying right, wrong, good, or bad. I'm just saying if you don't, it's okay. But it takes a while to undo that. Well, it's a holiday. Holidays are for people you love, family, big groups, you know, the Norman Rockwell painting. But if it's not, then you gotta, why am I not that? Why don't I have that? Why am I broke? When will I have that? I'm not enough as is. And that was the beauty. Like, just be thankful right now for what you have. And do that all day. And then do it tomorrow. That's a muscle. That will grow. That will make you feel better. That is what will get you through the funk, holidays alone, or feeling alone at any time. Because, you know, there's a great quote, loneliness expresses the pain of being alone. Solitude expresses the joy of being alone. And I've felt solitude for, you know, a solid 2 years now. And I'm like, well, if you happen to be listening on Thanksgiving today, and maybe you woke up not feeling that great, not feeling that thankful because you didn't have A, B, or C happening today. So that's why I'm here to tell you, it's okay. You're enough as is. You just got to believe that, embrace that, own that, and then practice it. Consistency with frequency. Gratitude is just the attitude that you have to adopt and practice. And again, there's purple thought. I'm going to try to be this way. I'm going to try to think this way. I'm going to try to be thankful. I'm going to write stuff down. Brain occupied, sitting around, laying around, not moving. You versus the voice. I don't know. I just never really enjoyed that much, nor was I ever successful. So, happy, happy Thanksgiving. Happy, happy, happy Thursday. Because to me, it's just the Thursday that I'm thankful for. I got another Thursday. Yay. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do today, how I want to do it. And just like every other day since last Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving before that, I'm just going to be thankful. That's how I healed. That's where my power came from. And that's the stuff I'm protecting right now. How I got it, I'm going to keep doing that. Because how I feel, I want to keep feeling that. So I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing. Thus, I will continue to keep sharing what I'm sharing, hoping it resonates. So, if you have any questions, comments, feel free to send them to me anytime, proupodcast@gmail.com. If you could go to iTunes, rate the podcast, that'd be great. If you search the podcast on iTunes, you have to go one word, P-R-O-Y-O-U. Okay, if you go P-R-O space Y-O-U, the search won't come up. So again, P-R-O-Y-O-U, one word, podcast on iTunes. If you'd stop by, rate that, I would appreciate it. Other than that, I hope you will. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. And here's how I feel about dealing with a test. Enjoy. This is a poem entitled Remember Joy, Not by Moi. Do not grieve for me, for now I am free. I followed the plan God laid for me. I saw his face, I heard his call. I took his hand and left it all. I could not stay another day. And if my parting has left a void, then fill it with remembered joy. A friendship shared, a laugh, a kiss. Ah, yes, these things I too shall miss. My life has been full. I have shared so much. Good friends, good times, a loved one's touch. I will not be far away, for life goes on. So if you need me, call, and I will come. Though you cannot see or touch me, I will be near. And if you listen with your heart, you will hear all my love around you, soft and clear. And then, when you must come this way alone, I will greet you with a smile and a welcome home. I have had that in my little toolbox for, I'd say, a good 20 years. And whenever someone that I know loses someone, that's the first thing I send. So I'll get back to that poem. Uno momento. So how one deals with a test directly determines the outcome of the test is a quote I made up 25 years ago. Long, long time ago, and I've referenced it on the podcast, I'm sure, quite a few times. But the moment I go, okay, this is when I put it, applied it, you know, put it into use and remembered it. I was living in Vegas, and my middle brother was out to take a cop test. And, you know, he said, you know, he had everything figured out or whatever. And so I was at work training people, and he called me freaking out saying, hey, I just called the taxi, and it's going to take, you know, an hour to get here, and I got to be there and have it, whatever. Just, you know, thought he could just call a taxi and then poof, it would show up. So I had to finish a client, and I'm like, you know, look, I got nothing for you. I got to keep working, and when I'm done, I'll come home. So when I got there, he's, you know, obviously just ready to freak out. You know, the whole reason he was in Vegas was for this for this test, and here he is already late for it. So, you know, I'm sure it had been in my head before, but this is when I just remember going, look, I said, we're going to get in the car, we're going to drive there. And I said, if you freak out, it's not going to help. If you, you know what I mean, if you just huffing and puffing and venting, you know, none of that is going to get us there quicker. Okay? When you get there, walk in. You know, they let you in, they let you in. If they don't, they don't. And as we started driving, I remember going, you know, well, this is the part right now. You're in it. This is the test. How you deal with this will determine that outcome. So just calm down, take some breaths, relax. It'll be fine. He got in. And afterwards, he told me this story that he walked in. He said he opened the door. And he said the dude talking, and everybody in the auditorium turned to the door in the back. And the guy goes, sit down. He got in. It was it. Done deal. And I remember just thinking that, because when you look at the time and energy that one wastes with worry, and it never changes the outcome. It never speeds up the answer. It never helps at all. So that's the quote I've been living by and sharing whenever I can. And then I always reference, well, that's the first time I said it, and you know, there it was. I didn't just have it in my head and it was some thought. I, you know, applied it. I told my brother, look, think this way and the positive outcome will follow. And it did. So boom, there you go. So a while back, I was in the middle of getting a new vehicle, and it was kind of a hectic week. I was a little stressed. Shared that on the podcast entitled Punched by Perspective. Went into the bank to see the bank manager, my friend Tawny. Started venting a little bit about what I had gone through. And then I asked how she was. And in that moment, I remember going, you know, she doesn't look that good. If I just would have walked in and been me, I would have, first thing I would have said is, hey, are you okay? What's wrong? You know? And if you listened, you know what happened. Her youngest sister was a fatal victim in Vegas. And in that moment, I remember kind of saying, wow, I hated that feeling. Because that's exactly who I had fought not to be and had grown from and had distanced myself from. And, you know, don't really associate with people that kind of complain and don't have the right perspective. And, you know, but we're all human and we make mistakes. And, you know, again, when you're a 4 out of 10 because of lack of sleep or stress or something bad, then the other decisions that follow along get even increasingly more difficult. So in that moment, I went to, okay, what happened? And, okay, I soon realized that that's why I was there. You know, I wasn't going to take away her pain, but I knew I could plant a couple seeds. I knew I could be a friend. And I knew that I was trying to make up in that moment for what I felt I had done. To Tawny, to whatever, but it was just, you know, a step backwards, and I wanted to, you know, under promise, over deliver in that moment. So when I walked out, there was no, wow, you know, but except for the part where he came in bitching, I didn't want that to be a part of that moment at all. So the next day, I dropped off a card, a poem that I had written, and the Remembered Joy poem, and I put that on a picture. So I put it all on a card, dropped it off to her, and that was the last I had seen her. Well, 2 days ago, I was just, you know, the bank I go to is right by the gym, so it's just I walk in. If I do anything, it's typically just outside, deposit money or whatever. I don't go in that often. So in my head, I was like, I'll just walk in. You know, she's Monday to Friday, but I've been in there before when she's not in there. So it's like same thing I've always thought. You know, you walk in, she's there, cool. She's not, you know, she's not there. And all I was in my head was like, she might not be there, but if she is, I was like, how are you? That's it. I just want to go, how are you? I just stopped in to say hi, and then, oh, poof, that's it. That's all that was in my head. And that was kind of a crucial point, because I opened the door a crack, and there she was. And I go, oh. So I go walking up, and I go, how are you? And can't even remember her answer. She's like, you know, by day, something like that, you know, positive, but, you know, there's weight there. And she said, I loved your card. And I was like, oh, like totally kind of forgot about that. It was just, you know, I had done a podcast. It had been, you know, a couple, 2-3 weeks since I had seen her, you know. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, you know, great. Loved it. And she goes, that poem. She goes, we put that in the card, the program for Angie's funeral service. She goes, there were 1,000 of them made and handed out. And as I share that, I, you know, it got me like it did just now a little bit. I'm just going to think, hey, is she? Oh, she's here. Hey, how are you? That's it. And I was like, what? You know, that poem went in. Like, I got to participate. And that's where I just turned away. I just stood there. It was just like, it was such a, did not anticipate anything like that. And I'm like, I was just trying to make up for being a butthead and hoping, you know, it's like, dude, don't stop coming in here. You know, I have things going on. I have a job or whatever. You know, I just like didn't want to bother her. And I'm like, I just immediately felt my heart fill up. Like it was such an honor. And see, it goes back to this thing. If, I believe, if you let life just do what it does to you and you control or do your best to respond in a way you choose, you just start feeling differently. Now again, it's not moment to moment. Like again, I was a wreck that day, and when I left I was like, oh my god, blah blah blah. And it's like, oh, this is a cool story. One time, one of the many therapists I visited, I was actually with an ex, and she put a pillow on the ground, the therapist did, and she said, okay, see the pillow? We're both there, my ex and I. She goes, that's your relationship. And this is, you know, the ex, you know, this is like a long time ago, so that's stuck in my head, because when you distance something, you can kind of take out a little bit of the feeling. When you're in it, it's just, I'm feeling it. It's bad. It's good. It's, you know, it's just, you're in it. Hindsight. It's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, time passes. We look back and we go, oh, see, that makes sense. Oh, that's how I learned that. Oh, you know what? That made me stronger. So I've had challenges. And, you know, I don't want to talk about them in the sense like, oh, I'm always, I don't want to bring them up. Like, I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to flame the fire at all. And not bad, but it's just my thing, right? A lot of it deals with, you know, a lot of time. We have a lot of time. It's time to think, time in your head. So a lot of that is that kind of challenge. I'm like, well, what do I do, you know, next? I'm like, okay, stop thinking. How are you now? And I was doing that hard all October. How are you right now? I'm good. Okay, shut up. It's just, I'm telling you, I sometimes have to do that all day long because my world is fine. I'm great. But a little bit of too much time and the thoughts just come pounding in and they're just relentless. And that's, like I said, that voice doesn't go away. Just, are you occupying yourself and distracting yourself in a positive way from that voice, not paying it any attention, not flaming that fire? So when all was kind of said and done and I had done the podcast, I felt good. You know, I was like, you know, good with that moment. And, you know, I had moral to the story and dropped it on the podcast. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, it's like I put it in a box and I move on. There's no like, oh, I was kind of still hanging on to that or anything. And like I said, when I went to the bank, there was nothing I was looking for. Hey, just wanted to make sure that everything, that just nothing, just wanted to check in on her as a friend. That was it. And I got walking outside and I was just like, okay, those are the kind of breadcrumbs that I get on this path. It wasn't the answer to my question, but it was, hey, how'd that feel? You went into that bank, talked to that bank manager, and then you went in there and gave her a card, a poem, put the poem in the program at the funeral service. You got to do that. You were that person. Like, wow, that's humbling. I'm totally like, wow, I'm thankful that I could make someone feel better and help a friend out like that. And then, you know, just share something. And it was such a cool thing that her and her mother were like, hey, let's make this, you know, the poem in the program. I'm like, I got to, you know, I got to witness, I got to participate, I got to, you know, to me that's, it's, it says there's something that's so much bigger than my problems inside my little head. So what I need to do, because I'm far from perfect, wonderfully flawed, I have to mentally, manually keep putting that into my head. Like, remember that month? And remember this time you had? And remember these questions? Doesn't matter. Look what happened. And at this point in my life, those substitute easily, replace the bad easily, because I, like I said, every muscle that you work gets stronger. It just does. So it's, I'm going to think positive and I'm not going to complain. That's a muscle and it's going to get stronger. Like, I'm going to control the voice in my head. I'm going to stay thankful. That's a muscle that will get stronger. So now those things start kind of happening more and more automatically to me. And I start kind of seeing that hindsight quicker. Hey, right now in this moment, I'm at the bank. Oh my God, I messed up. Let me, okay, you know what? If I just stop thinking about my blah, blah, why am I here? Let's focus on her. Okay, go, poof. Next 40 minutes, I loved it. X amount of time later, poof, hey, you contributed to the funeral services. You know, I felt like, you know, I got to know Angie and paid respect to her family and her memory because of, you know, my encounter and my friendship with her big sister, Tani. Like I said, if you're doing things and you stumble and you fall and you go, well, I've fallen before, so it's okay. I'll get back up. Let me, how do I get back up to, if those right there are better thoughts than the voice and the critiquing and the judging and everything else. So if I'm working on me, pro-you path, the path of self-discovery, that is what I'm going to encounter. It's like I would have much rather gone to a pro-you college where I learned about me versus a regular college where I got a finance degree. And I'm saying, oh, okay, so I'm going to have this, you know, temper, I'm going to have this thing, I'm going to blah, 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 I'm going to beat myself up, I'm going to, okay, so the quicker I forgive myself and move on, the better I'm going to feel and the more productive I'm going to be as the version I want to be of myself out in the world. So trying to execute or apply this will be a challenge, because when you're in it, you're not going to go, oh, I should stop and take three breaths and pause and remember what Tom said. Because in that moment when something happens and your heart rate starts pumping and adrenaline and all of a sudden, like, just, you know, instinctual things happen, it's really hard to go, okay, this is a test. I am in it. Now, Let me set it over there. Walk way over here. Distance myself from it. Kind of alleviate the attachment of feeling. And now, with a little bit of clarity and perspective, I can assess. And already in that moment, you say, well, I'm handling it better. I'm not freaking out. I'm not breathing heavily, not sweating, not getting mad. I'm just, all right, I'm in it. How I deal with it could quite possibly have a huge effect on the outcome. And if there's nothing I can do to control it, what's going to happen is probably what's going to happen. What's going to happen is probably what should happen. Again, how do you respond while it's happening and when it happens? Because sometimes it takes a long time, which brings up my second scenario. So I've shared that where I live in Hollywood, our complex is kind of small. I think it's got 18 units. And one that just, you know, I open my door and I look at his door down the way. He's just a bad dude. He's yelled at the owner, the manager, me. Just, he's a yucky dude. And, you know, I've thought that something would have been done. You know, the police are called twice. He's fighting with his partner. You know, it's just, I'm like, why are you letting him be here? And, you know, they're not charging him extra rent for his partner because you can't really prove that. So he's kind of, you know, I have to pay extra for Zen. You know, and I did because I want to stay here. So, again, just abusing the system and disrespectful and just a yucky dude. And there was nothing I could do about it. So this is a 2-year test. And when I look back to 2 years, there's a ton of time I wish I wouldn't have thought about him and the yuck that they produce over there. But I'm human, you know. So again, you're going to be, okay, this is, maybe it goes kind of off and on, like for a few months, like, okay, just don't look at them, don't think about them. Okay, they're not in my world, and it's better. And then, you know, they do something, they, you know, whatever, and then they're back in. And so it's been a struggle, you know, and that's when I started, look, why are you thinking about them? Are you bored, Tom? You know, that's how that all started. Well, rumor has it. I don't want to get too excited until I know they've received the letter, but supposedly, and I talked to the owner, because I'm giving them an eviction notice. And I was like, no way. And it's been taking a long time. I guess it's kind of a big process to go through, but they got to get a lawyer and all this stuff. So they started this like a month or so ago, and it's just how long it takes. So I'm like, no way. Like, when neither one is around and they're gone, it's during the day, it's just like this peaceful vibe here. You know, and I'm like, oh, it would be just great to have that all the time. But, and again, I'm like, oh, there's always going to be some place where you live or where you work. There's going to be a thing. And again, it's how you respond. But some of these, like the Bank Tawny moment, you know, that was, oh my God, 5 minutes of yuck. And then, you know, overall 45 minutes that I was there in that moment. I'm like, okay, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And then you have the option B, the 2-year or 5-year. You got a bad neighbor, you got whatever. You know what I mean? These things can last because you can't really do anything about them. I was in charge of eviction. He would have been gone a long time ago if I could have kicked him. You know what I mean? If it was anything to do with what was under my control or my ability, I would have done something, but I can't do anything. So how do I choose to respond? And for the most part, again, I think I did fine. I don't like really regret anything I ever did, you know, but have I wasted valuable time and energy with some sort of thought about that dude in my head? Yes. Emphatically, yes. Now, how do you say this, like my clients, you go back a year or whenever, and you go, hey, that guy's getting evicted the end of 2017. Oh, okay. I know I would have dealt with that time differently. We don't get to know that. So I had a client over here yesterday, and a lot of people in LA have a job in the industry where they work on a show. Show ends, got to get a new job. So there's, I'm working, I'm unemployed. And that's just status quo how it is. So my client, you know, kind of got that thing where he's like, oh, you know, this is a tough time of year to not cinch that job, to kind of work through the end of the year, because nothing really starts up and it'll pick up again. But if it's already started before the end of the year, you know, so it's just a funky time to get a job if you don't get one kind of now. And he goes, yeah, I went like 6 months last year. And he goes, so, and I could tell he started to think about the past. Red flag number one. He's spending time and energy now because he's in between work thinking about the bad or the gray or what could happen or what did happen and what if that happened again. And he goes, you know, I had kind of a funky, you know, a few days. And I'm like, well, that's why. If you're like, that was funky and you feel it, let it in, breathe it. You know, oh, that feel, yep, I remember that yucky feeling. Well, what if that happened? Oh, there's more doubt. Let that settle. It just becomes weight. So I told him, you, and he knows this, he's a better version of himself. So I told him, I said, you know, if you get tested with a period of unemployment again, let's see how you respond this time. I said, let's say you only went 2 weeks without a job and you got another job. At some point, that job would be done, and then you'd be unemployed, and then you would start freaking out again. I go, if you go a period of time this time, and you've got a schedule, and you're preparing your meals, and you're portion controlling, and outside of my workouts with you, you're doing your own homework, and you do that week in and week out. Number one, you're making you a phenomenal you that you've never yet experienced. At the end of that, or at the end of the first month, second month, third month, you'll keep changing and growing and evolving into a better you that you've never been, and you will look at things differently. And if the test comes around, it's so you can pass it this time, not so you can worry until you get a job again. So, but it's hard to step outside and go, oh, okay, so I need to get better at not getting a job. Not just getting another job. Okay, let me work on that. So what can I control? Well, when I've got the in-between time, I can exercise, I can foam roller, I can stretch, I can shop for my own food, I can prepare my own meals. I can, there you go. And that sounds like a lot of busy stuff that would distract you from you sitting around on the couch frozen because you're like, I still haven't gotten a job. What if it goes longer? What if I don't get it tomorrow? What if I don't get it for a month? I mean, again, it's just wait. And if you're flaming that fire of doubt and fear, it will grow. And if you're flaming that fire of, wow, I feel good, I did some things Tom said, I got myself a schedule, I'm checking things off, it's, you know, it's noon and I checked my two things off and I got the rest of the day to do whatever I want. Hey, you know what? I'm going to apply myself and start. And I just started telling him, I go, you know, if you start becoming this version because of the time that's allotted to you right now in between jobs, you're going to grow and evolve as you should. You know, what you can be, you must be. Abraham Maslow. So if you're kind of struggling and, you know, getting these pretty good jobs for a little while in the end, and then you stress, and then you get a pretty good job that lasts for a while, and then you stress, inside you're like, there's got to be better. There's got to be something better. And he admitted that. And I said, yeah. You start letting go of the things you cannot control. It's empowering. You start controlling the shit out of the things that you can control. It's empowering. And you got both of those going on. All of a sudden you're evolving and you're thinking differently. I think differently than I used to. And I told him, you know, that same client, I said, you know, I'm going to record this podcast just going, you know, why I feel the joy right now is because of how well I've responded to the test that I've felt lately. And that's a trippy thing to even say and understand for me. Like, I remember stressing about, you know, money, too much time, those things, and like I said, frozen by the weight of the unknown and not knowing which way to step and to do. When today, you know, I got to figure it all out or make the right move or it's all going to be bad. And again, wait. And then all of a sudden, not overnight, a bunch of time and energy, but I got to the place where I was like, oh, okay, I can't control that. I let it go. You know, the land in Idlewild. You know, all anything that was like, okay, that's all right. That's not my control. I let it go. There's probably something good in it. I'm probably going to learn something. It's probably better I don't get it. I'll be fine. All right. Let me just walk by faith, not by sight. I'm sure it's going to work out. Everything else has. I've made it through every other test. And I'm far better now than I've ever been. I'm a way better version of myself now than I've ever been. So why would these things throw me? Oh, okay, see? And that chat to yourself, creating that new conversation, getting the big yucky voice out of your head. So my whole deal now is like, I feel better than I've ever felt. And when I look hard at my life, it's amazing. I'm blessed and it's beautiful. Then shut up, Dom. That's the work. But that is so much easier now. I mean, I've undone some things that were major to me, and I'm walking the earth right now not caring about things that every other human is caring about and I've cared about for 48 years. And I'm like, yeah, I don't anymore. Well, I can't control that. Well, if it happens, cool, but right now what am I supposed to do? Whine and complain because I'm healthy and I got a great dog and I get to go to the beach a lot. You know, I'm like, I can't complain. There's just no bad. I gotta, you know, celebrate this. What am I learning? Like, and then this, you know, moment happened where it was like another test. And I was like, and that was kind of like a week later. And I went, you know, I did good there too. Like, I'm just responding better. So it's, I ended the session with this client going, again, it's the funniest thing, but I would not have this joy, and I'm, you know, proud of myself, had I not had these recent challenges. I've never felt this type of pride. Wow, look how I'm handling this situation. This is ridiculous. Way to go, Tom. I'm not that, you know, I haven't felt that way until now. So if I've never felt that good feeling, do I care how I got here? No. Am I thankful for the yep. I'm thankful for these recent tests in October, kind of leading into November, because it gave me the opportunity to respond in a manner that I chose, and I did, and it felt great, feels great. Great. And that was kind of the impetus for this podcast. Like, wow, this is cool how I'm doing. I mean, I had a little faux pas at the bank. Poof, found out I participated in the funeral service with the poem. That's fantastic. That worked out well. Okay, next. It's going forward. And to me, you know, there's that vibe. You know, you attract that which you're like. If I'm carrying around drama, and I'm carrying around, I feel bad about this, and I did bad here, and not doing really good, and I'm going through some real tests, and man, I just have no answers. Man, have I got the time? I mean, what energy is that putting off? I mean, I think that would repel anything or anybody. Versus walking the earth going, dude, I'm good. I made it through everything and I don't need anything. So I hope something I shared today resonated with you. Now there might be a test during the day. It might be a test for a week, a month, a year. Or it might be a test that you felt you had your whole life. But how you deal with that test will directly determine the outcome of that test, I believe. And I've put it to test a number of times. And I've proven it to be a solid theory that I believe just everybody's worth doing. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. But you can do it. You just have to do it that first time. And, oh, well, okay, that was weird or didn't feel good or what. And then the second time, oh, I remember that. Okay, it's a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's starting to feel good. And right there, that's it. That's when that dial has moved. Oh, if you're starting to feel good, might you continue? If you're starting to feel good, might you be consistent? And what might all that time and energy into you do? Exactly. Make you feel better so you keep doing it. Therefore, you evolve. You become a better you. And I'm telling you, you don't know that vista until you get there. I didn't get to that vista till I was 52 in my life, on my path. When I got to 52, I was like, okay, this is different. I like this vista. I will stay here. I get 50 weeks, months, years. This is where I'm staying. No one's going to move me from here. And here is that which I control, how I respond. No one can take any of that away from me. All the external stuff can happen, come, go, don't care. Doesn't have anything to really do with me. It'll just put me in a situation where it's like, okay, how are you going to respond to this? Hey, Tom, how are you going to respond to this? Okay, this happened. How are you going to respond to this? Again, once you start doing it, you'll never stop. Pro-use addictive, baby. Right. I'm going to read a few things for you. None of which I wrote, just to be clear. The first one is Deep Within Our Hearts by Edmund O'Neill. Deep within our hearts, each of us carries the seed of a secret dream, special and unique to each individual. Sometimes another person can share that dream and help it to grow to fulfillment. Other times, the dream remains a solitary pursuit, known only to the seeker. But, secret or shared, no matter what it might be, a dream is a potential which should never be discouraged. For each of us also carries within ourselves a light which can cause the seed to grow and blossom into beautiful reality. That same light I've seen shine so clearly in you. This one is Dare to Risk, author unknown. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach for another is to risk involvement. To expose your ideas, your dreams before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To believe is to risk failure. But risks must be taken, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The people who risk nothing do nothing. Have nothing, are nothing. They may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, live. Chained by their attitudes, they are slaves. They have forfeited their freedom. Only a person who risks is free. Author unknown. I'll end with this. Love this one. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Remember, pro you people, you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You moment. As always, totally stoked that you're here. And I mean that sincerely. It's showing that you value evolving. You'd like to change a little, grow a little. Therefore, you're willing to spend a little time on you. With you in your own head, which is quite scary often. So if we can sit on the floor and cross our legs, that'd be fantastic. If you can't, that's totally cool. But sit somewhere, eyes closed, and let's just begin to control that which we can control, because that's a dope feeling, yo. Trying to control things that you cannot control is a waste of time and energy. So I'm going to show you how good that can feel. And you do that which serves you. So you can close your eyes and you can inhale through the nose and you can exhale out the mouth and you can slow those down, elongate them, experience them, connect the mind and body. That's what you're doing right now. Congrats. See how easy it was? Now you're just going to do that to the best of your ability while keeping neutral neck, navel tucked into your spine, shoulders over your hips for 180 seconds. I'm going to let you know when time is up. And you may begin without judgment or critique now. did it. Another pro-you moment in the books. Gather those pro-you moments. Get them in the books. Build up that credit. Because there'll be times when you won't feel very pro-you. Human world and the spiritual world don't align, and you're funky because that which you think should have, supposed to have, you do not. And we have to bridge that gap and make peace between our two ears. But I'm not the first one to say it. Being thankful, he will heal anything. And I've told it to people that did not understand it and really didn't appreciate it nor like it. When they lost someone and they asked, how do I move forward? And I said, be thankful. And you could see their head spin, mind twist. Be thankful for the time you had with that person. Be thankful for what you have right now. Four limbs above ground, a home, people you love, people that love you. I got so good at being thankful for what I had, I started being thankful for the things I didn't have. Started being thankful for the things I was not going through. I was very thankful for some of the things that I did not have to do on a day-to-day basis that some people do. I always had this image of God going, well, if you don't like that trial, challenge, test, cross to carry, I'll give you this one behind door number two. Now, you don't know what exactly that is behind door number two, but if you hate the one you're carrying right now, you go ahead and tell me, we'll switch it up. And I don't think I'd ever have enough courage to say, yeah, let's do that. Because I really believe you're given what you can handle. A burden you can carry. A test that you can pass. A challenge you can overcome. Not knowing if you can. Not knowing how long. Not knowing the reward. That's the challenge. But just omitting it. Because you don't want that challenge. Thinking that now you'll have an easy life. The challenge is there for you to grow. The challenge is there for you to become stronger. Now, mentally shifting that perspective to seeing it that way feels better. And it's pro you. And you're worth it. I'm thankful for you. Peace and God bless.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.